Good evening. It's good to be back with you on the Lord's Day. It's good to be able to come together as God's people to spend some time in God's Word, and I appreciate your presence, and I hope that our study this evening from the Word of God and the comments that we make about Miss Thelma will be encouraging to make sure that we have a spiritual life and a relationship with God that is right with Him. In our scripture reading there in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, notice the very last verse in verse 10, that when we die, in verse 10, wherefore, whatever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave or shield where you go. Solomon is not saying that you cease to exist when you die, and he's not saying that when you die, you don't have any existence or action. What he's saying there is, if you back up to verse 5, we have one life to live, and we need to live it to its fullest. He talks about marriage there and other things. Because when we die, we don't repeat that life again where we can continue to do things. We will exist. The places we know from the New Testament is called Hades. We either exist as a righteous person in paradise or as a wicked person in torment. We continue to exist as we await the judgment day. But verse 10, you can't go to Hades and then live another life there and do other kinds of works. That's for this life. So we have to be busy in this life with whatever our hand finds to do. Do it with all of our might because we just have one life to live. And when we pass from this life, how will we be remembered? Have you ever noticed in your Bible the different times that it says people passed away? There's a lot of places in Scripture that talks about people dying. But I'm talking about the places in Scripture where it talks about someone dying, and then after they die, after some comment is made about them. Positive or negative. Have you ever thought about those places? One place that comes to my mind where there's just one right after another is Hebrews chapter 11, right? Just one after another. All of those people are dead. And then there's some positive comment made about their faith. When you and I die, what is going to be said? What is going to be said about us? As a minister, I've been placed in the position over my lifetime to preach many funerals and be a part of many funerals. Some taking part in them, some just attending like you have attended funerals before. And it's interesting the kinds of things that come up based upon the way a person lived. I attended the funeral of an atheist one time, just one atheist funeral. They weren't sacrilegious toward God, and that was good. I was hoping that they wouldn't be. So there wasn't any poking fun of God or anything like that. And I was glad to see that. But it was very narcissistic. It was very, you know, me and this person, and it was really kind of depressing because they come from a standpoint of just simply talking about themselves. But what was hard to listen to was even they realized that we're talking about the deeds of this person, but we cease to exist when we die. So they were like, well, what did that do? So even they were at a sort of a loss with the whole thing. It was really sad. I attended the funeral of a member of the church one time, and I thought that this was odd. You're thinking, well, he was a member of the church, and so we're going to hear some great things about the Lord's church. Do you know that not one thing was said about the Lord's church? Very odd. Not one thing was said about his Christianity, being a Christian. Being a member of the church, nothing. None of that was mentioned. They mentioned his work and his hobbies. And the preacher was a sound gospel preacher, knew the man very well, just like I did. And that man had been a member of the church where we were at, and so I knew him very well. I also knew that he was very unfaithful, and he was problematic in many ways, and maybe that was what was going on there. But I thought it was really strange that nothing could be said, nothing could come up with anybody saying anything about being a Christian or the Lord's church, when he had been a Christian his whole life. Let us live in such a way that there's no ambiguity or strangeness or anything hard to say. I was asked to do a funeral one time in Springfield. I was just called up out of the blue. I did not know these people, but a member of the church called me and said, "I want you to do the funeral for my father. He's not a member of the church." And this lady, this Christian, said, "I don't want you to preach him into heaven. I believe that he was lost." I've hardly ever had anybody tell me that. Because at a funeral, you want to preach everybody into heaven. You want to change everybody's life at the last minute and make it look better than it really is. And she was just open and honest, and she said, "My father was not a Christian. He died in sin." And she said, "I want you to tell the people the plan of salvation and the importance of getting rid of their sin, but he was lost, and I don't want you to preach him into heaven." She said that to me. We need to live in such a way, verse 10, that we are doing all that we can now to become a Christian. If we need to be baptized into Christ, to do that before it's too late. We don't know when we're going to die. And then, not just to live for ourselves, but to live for others. We sing in our songbook, "Live for Jesus." Live for others. Show something. Demonstrate. So when somebody comes and asks me to do your funeral or vice versa, it's very easy and obvious what to say. We're going to do some of that this evening. I have been a part of funerals where in the auditorium it was standing room only. And the funeral home had put out extra chairs. All of them were taken up. There are people standing along the sides. There's people standing in the foyer. They're everywhere. Then I've been to funerals where I could count on one hand or less the number of people that are there. Nobody really knew or cared about the person. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 14 and verse 8. Jeroboam and his wife had a child who fell sick. His name was Abijah. Unfortunately, his father was a very wicked man. And as a result of his wickedness, God says that his child and any man child from him would be taken away as punishment for Jeroboam's sin. And when the child died, 1 Kings 14:17, Jeroboam's wife arose and departed. She had gone to the prophet whose name was Ahijah. And he told her, my version says, heavy tidings. And this was heavy, that their child would die. But Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. As she came to the threshold of the house, the child died. Now look at this. And all Israel buried him and mourned for him according to the word of Jehovah, which he spake by the servant Ahijah the prophet. There was a big turnout, in other words. In contrast to that, turn with me to 2 Chronicles 21 and verse 20. The death of Jehoram. 2 Chronicles 21, verse 20. I've been to funerals where it's standing room only. And then I've been to funerals like this. 2 Chronicles 21:20. 32 years old was he, Jehoram. When he began to reign, he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and he departed without being desired. And they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulcher of the kings. He departed without being desired. Nobody cared about him. Which will it be for you? Which will it be for me? Our theme this evening is basically looking at some situations in Scripture, and eventually we're going to get to Acts chapter 9. But looking at some situations where people passed away, and what was said about them. Let's live in such a way that what is said, that there is something physically said about God in your life or Christ in your life. It was very surprising to me that I attended a funeral of a Christian and the Christianity and the church was never mentioned the whole time. That was just very odd. Let's live in such a way that people are talking about that God was in our life and Christ was in our life and we were serving others. You know that when we read an obituary, there are going to be things that are said about us. You know, when we were born and when we died and who we were related to. There'll be things said about us, obviously. There's nothing wrong with that. But let it be that when it comes time for the bulk of the message, that it's about we who did things for others and how we faithfully served the Lord. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about. They're not commended there for the way they looked or how much money they had or how much popularity they had. They were commended for actions of faith. Let us live and die in such a way that that will be what is said of us. So you have Abijah, whom all Israel mourned. Then you have Jehoram, where he died and nobody even desired him. I've known of funeral situations where it was basically the preacher and the funeral director. That's rough. So, the choice is ours. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Work as hard as we can work for the Lord and others because we're going to a place where we can't do that anymore. We've got one life to do that. I wanted to share with you some things that were given to me concerning Miss Thelma. And then we will look at some other Bible passages. This one is from Reggie and the Farriers. He writes, Miss Thelma was a kind soul. She loved her family, especially Brother Howard, but she loved the Lord even more. We would talk and she would share stories about her past and all the things her and Brother Howard did, but it always astonished me how most of those things revolved around the church. She was always so gracious, even when she was in pain. She would ask about others and how people were doing. I was amazed how she wanted to pray for others, even though she was in such a dire state herself. She was always so gracious, kind, and warm. Miss Thelma was always so encouraging to our boys in their walk with the Lord. She always had kind words to lift them up and expressed her joy when they obeyed the gospel. I thank God for allowing me to come in contact with such an amazing person. I can only hope I'm able to touch as many people and hearts as she and Brother Howard did. Be with God, Sister Thelma. You have run the race and now you can rest. This next one is from the Wards. Thelma, some thoughts about Thelma. We only knew her in her ailing years, but the memories of her are, number one, that stuffed bear in her home. Not everyone has a stuffed bear to welcome them into her home. Number two, she loved spending time with her spiritual family, even if it was a 2-minute ride to services or introducing us to the game of chicken foot. Number three, her steadfast, faithful attendance and dedication to the congregation. Number four, her meaningful service of preparing communion bread. Number five, her talent of sewing to bless and welcome new babies in the congregation. And our first grandchild was the recipient of one of those baby blankets. Number six, she loved being with a group of Christians, whether it was in her home or at a potluck. This next one is from Don Rademacher. He texted me a picture of Don and Thelma and Keith Burnett. They had gone to a gospel meeting and they were stopping along the way on home for some ice cream. One of the fondest memories I have was when Thelma asked if I could put her dog in the tub so she could give it a bath, since it was too heavy for her to lift. I did it, but it wasn't pretty. Before we came here at the beginning of December of 2016, I had held some gospel meetings here at Warfield Boulevard, and I always appreciated the invitations to be able to do that. And during those years, Howard and Thelma would have us over and show us hospitality. My feet and Sherry's feet were under her table multiple times. And I think of 1 Peter 4:9, given to hospitality, that's gone by the wayside. And we need to be mindful of that in our lives today if we can. Given to hospitality. It wasn't something that was a drudgery. It wasn't something that she complained about. She wanted it. She loved it. Please let me do that. And I was the recipient of that many times. And I always loved her cornbread and white beans and the things that she would make. That was before we even moved here. I remember one time they were living with one of their children, I think south of town, and they had us down there where they were staying. But of course, that continued on after we moved here. I've got a letter here that I wanted to read from her. She started this pretty early on. I came at the beginning of December of 2016. This will be in a museum one day. Letters, you know, people don't write letters anymore. That'll be in a museum. It's called a letter. Here's what a letter looks like, kids. So she wrote, "I want to thank you for having lunch with us ladies. Your timing was perfect." Boy, I was outnumbered on that day. "I had already planned lunch for the ladies that day. You mentioned about a friend saying he was going to keep praying for you even after you moved away." This was at Springfield. And then she said, "I want you to know I've been praying for you every night that you can help Warfield grow. Our crowd has gotten so short." I was, and there's a few words there I can't make out. I think she's talking about summer off to college and other things. That's why the numbers are down. Then she goes on to say, "I wish Howard could have been here when you came. I sure miss him. He was a good husband. The Lord blessed me 65 years with him. He said he was not afraid to die. He just worried about leaving me alone. And I could care for him all by myself and was beside him till he drew his last breath. Y'all take care. See you next Sunday." This is dated, postmarked about 2 weeks after I came at the beginning of December. I wanted to mention that Thelma was an encourager. You don't know this, but this was one of several either letters or notes that she handed me on the way out of service. She would just write something on a piece of paper and just hand it to me on the way out. And much of it had to do with encouragements for me. I think of her as a Barnabas in that way. Let's say and do things that encourage and build up other people. The other point about that is, you know, when we think about encouragement, we think of always positive things, and of course that's natural. But there would be a few times after coming that Thelma, on her way out, would stop me, and she was very concerned about... She sat in the back, behind Bobby, back there on that back pew. And sitting back there, she could see a lot of people, obviously, in the auditorium. And there were times when she would say, I wish some of the young people would pay more attention. They were misbehaving. They were talking. They were looking at their phone. They were punching each other and different things. And she said, I really wish they would pay attention more. And I said, well, you know, maybe you should go talk with them. Maybe that would encourage them. She told me one time the same thing, but it involved adults. So, Miss Thelma, you know, there were a lot of times when she would say things that you would categorize as the normal positive kinds of things. But then there was that too. And that is just as important as any other matter. We need to be built up in those kinds of ways as well and be reminded of our demeanor while we're here. Several of those notes involved sermon suggestions, and I tried to preach as many of those as I could. Some of them, it would just be a verse, a Bible verse, and then some little statement about a lesson that could be brought from that. She was constantly doing that. Of course, as a preacher, you're always looking for good sermon ideas, and so I appreciated that. The second thing that, and that was, it was already mentioned in one of these statements, was her attendance. I was impressed as an older person how often she was here. And I see this a lot among older brethren here and other places. Frankly, just to put it bluntly, sometimes they run circles around the young people with regard to their attendance. And if they can be here, and they are here, then we can as well. They have this, they came from a generation of stick-to-itiveness, if you can make up a word. Just this tenacity and desire and commitment and dedication. And did those people have headaches? Yes. Did they have aches and pains? Yes. But they're always here. How is that? How is that? It's up here. And I was impressed how much she wanted to be here, even in her last years. And then the third thing, of course, I mentioned was her hospitality and having us in her home. So I appreciate what she's done. Different people have had different experiences with her and different interactions and thoughts and different things. Those were mine. And I appreciated her for those things. In the Word of God, people have passed from this life, and there is a divine statement about who they are. How do you and I want to be remembered? Do you remember at the book, at the beginning of the book of Joshua, and at the end something is said? At the beginning of the book of Joshua, if you want to turn with me there, when God gives this encouraging word to Joshua, in the very first verse, it came to pass after the death of Moses, the servant of Jehovah. He had already died, obviously, but he's described as the servant of Jehovah. And then turn to the end of the book in Joshua chapter 24, almost the last verse, verse 29. The same thing is said about Joshua. It came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Jehovah, died, being 110 years old. That's how these men are remembered, for serving the Lord. Job, after he died, James 5:11. Long after he died, is remembered by inspiration by James, and he's described as a patient man, patient in suffering. Stephen, after he died, was remembered by Paul in Acts 22 and verse 22 as a witness or a martyr. All those in Hebrews chapter 11 were remembered for their faithful acts and faithful works. Antipas in Revelation 2 and verse 10 is described as a faithful witness after he died. Let's live in such a way that after we die, things can not just typical obituary types of things, but meaningful things, things that bring glory to God in Christ. Let's live in that way. And if there's anything we need to change now, let's do it. Let's change our lives. Let's change our situations. If we need to talk with someone, if we need to work something out, if we need to change something, so that when we die, that service can bring glory to God. When I die, I just want the service to be about God and Christ and how I tried to honor them. That's all I want. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Let's spend the rest of our time this evening with this example in Scripture from the death and the funeral of Dorcas or Tabitha. I love the statement that is made in Scripture here, showing the things she made. If we were to get that baby blanket that Thelma had done for Beckett, we could show something that she made. I've got a letter here that shows something that she wrote. Let it be something tangible in our life where somebody can say, this is what Chris or somebody did to serve the Lord and serve others. It could be children that are shown. It could be physical things that are made. It could be memories of things that we've actually done for people. And so in Acts chapter 9, let's read Luke's account here beginning in verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas or Gazelle. This woman is full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she fell sick and died, and when they had washed her body, they laid her in an upper chamber. And as Lydda was nigh or near unto Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men unto him, entreating him, delay not to come unto us. And Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all of the widows stood by him, weeping. And then here's the statement, showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up, and calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. And it came to pass that he abode many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Notice in verse 36, first of all, this evening, brethren, that she's described as a disciple. One of the greatest things that we need to do before passing from this life is to be a Christian, to be baptized into Christ. It's the only way to die. Let's pass from this life a faithful disciple of the Lord. Number two, the text says in verse 36 that this woman was full of good works and alms deeds. Not just a few, not a smattering, not a bare minimum, not get my quota in. I'll do one or two this year to kind of get my quota. She was full of helping others and serving others. And that's what I want to encourage us to be. We have many lessons from this pulpit about current things that are going on in our society where everything is narcissistic. It's me. It's my this and me. We need to be out there serving others. And when difficult things happen in our life, one of the best ways to get over that is to get out and serve others and do for others. It's a great cure for depression. It's a great cure for selfishness. It's a great cure for narcissism. Get out and do for others. You will feel great when you do that. You really will. Good works and alms deeds. We don't speak that way. Kind acts. It could be actions. It could be things that she actually gave to somebody. But she's a Christian, and number two, she's an active, caring. She wasn't a bench warmer. She wasn't a pew warmer. She was a Christian who was active in her service to God. Note her active, unselfish service and dedication to the needs of others. That's the way to die. The text says in verse 37 that she fell sick and died. Death interrupted her generous life. And one day, death is going to interrupt our life. But what life is it going to interrupt? Let it interrupt, let it stop or cease this active serving of the Lord. Death comes to all. Hebrews 9, 27. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. It's going to come to all of us unless the Lord comes again first. It's going to come to all of us. And it's going to stop or interrupt something. What will that be for you, and what will that be for me? There was a funeral given in her name. And the text says in verse 38 that there were those who were gathered together, 37, 38, 39. They wanted Peter to come. There's a funeral that is going on here, if you will. And Dorcas had made a positive impact on those around her. Her loss was felt by the other saints and disciples there at Joppa. She was a void that is being missed. Let us be someone who doesn't just pass off into obscurity or just pass off like anybody passes away in Clarksville, but let it be that we were so active in serving the Lord and helping others that it's a clear void that is happening here. And that we're going to gather together and so miss this person and show all the things that she had made. She was mourned and missed. All the widows stood by weeping and showing the coats and the garments. And I love the statement that is made. Look at the last part of verse 39. Showing, weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Brethren, we have just one life, Ecclesiastes 9:10. There's only one life in which we are with others. And that life could be even short. Sometimes young people are taken from this life quicker than they think. Our life could be cut off short even sooner than we might think. And while we're with people, our days are limited. While we're with them, be doing as much as we can to serve and help others. Obviously, there are things that we have to take care of with our work and with our personal lives and things like that. But let us make the time to care for others as well. When I think about Thelma Justice and others, I think of Dorcas. Number one, Thelma and others have passed from this life being a Christian. Be a disciple. Be a Christian. And number two, Thelma and others I know of have passed from this life, and you can actually show the things that they have made. Be it a godly marriage, or writing notes of encouragement, or sermon suggestions, or concerned about people not paying attention during the worship service, or hospitality in your feet under somebody's table, or at church services even in their old age, or whatever that might be for you or for me. Let us be, number one, a faithful Christian. Number two, let us, while we are with the people that we can be with, do things for them. Let me encourage our young people here, please, please get out and do things for other people. I believe that's one of the greatest pressures that is on you right now, is the pressure for you just simply to make it all about you. And as adults, we need to remember that lesson as well. Are we serving others? Galatians 6:10. Doing good unto all, especially those of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. Ephesians 2:10. Doing those good works that God has prepared for us. Titus 2:14, zealous of good works. We don't want to spend the rest of our life just simply drifting and existing and sort of taking up some sort of space in life. But like Solomon says, living it to its fullest. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might, because you and I are going to a place where we can't do those things anymore. I appreciate the wards having us over for lunch this afternoon. Do something to encourage and serve others. I used it as an opportunity to straighten out Seth one last time before he has to leave. We're going to face death one day, and there will probably be some sort of a funeral for us one way or the other. It might be standing room only, it might be not very many people, it might be something in between. But what will be shown of what we have made? Are we making a positive impact on others now while we are living? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Out of all of those examples of great faith in the Old Testament, we could go down through each one, and each one would be great, but I want to mention just one of Abel for tonight's lesson and the statement that is made there. Brethren, do you realize that sometimes, depending upon how you and I live, do you realize that sometimes After we die, sometimes that impact can be just as great as when we are alive, or maybe even greater. Let's be thinking about the impact after we die, and use this life to be serving the Lord so we will have that great impact. Look at Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness in respect of his gifts. And look at this. Though he being dead, yet speaketh. Underscore that in your Bible. He's dead. And he's been dead many, many years by the time the Hebrew writer writes it. But he's still speaking. We have sermons on Abel all the time, and the fact that he did things that were authorized and so forth. We still speak after we die. But what is that speaking going to be? Let it be a faithful service to the Lord. What positive impact are we making on others now while we're still alive, so that when we're dead, we're still speaking in a great way? Dorcas was allowed to stay a little bit longer in this life, and that's a neat thing, isn't it? She was resurrected. We're not going to have that. We don't have that blessing. I believe her return to the church was a great gain. You ever thought about that? I can't think of anybody in the Bible that was resurrected who was just a mean, wicked, nasty person. Can you? There may have been one. I just can't think of one right now. But when people were raised from the dead, it was people that would serve God again. You don't find, for example, a Diotrephes being raised from the dead. Maybe there were some. But I know this woman, when she's brought back to life and she's able to be given back to the church, something tells me she's going to go right back to good works and alms deeds. And when her second funeral comes around, something tells me there's going to be more things to be shown. What do you think Dorcas did the rest of her life? My guess would be that she did the same thing. Went back to serving others. Now, we're not going to be given that blessing and that second opportunity in this life. We have one, Ecclesiastes 9:10. What will it be for you and what will it be for me? We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement. I'm glad we've had a little bit of time this evening to remember her. I don't know what was planned for her by her family or others, but I consider it a privilege to be able to say a few things about Thelma Justice. And I really appreciated her, for me, her words of encouragement, various kinds, her faithful attendance in her old age, and her hospitality. Let's be like Dorcas. Number one, let's become a Christian if we need to this evening. If we need to come back to the Lord, let's be faithful. Let's be full of good works and alms deeds toward others. Regardless of what's going on in our life, we all have different lives, we all have different scenarios and situations and things going on. Let's remember the big picture, and that is, as a Christian, we need to be serving others. And when we die, let it be at our funeral that it can be shown the great things that we did, not just for others, but for God and His Son, Jesus Christ, showing the things she made. Let that be what is said of us. If we can assist you and put it on Christ this evening, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?